We give you praise and thanks, Father, for your love toward us.
Yes, Lord.
We give you praise and thanks for who you are. For you indeed are more precious than gold or silver or diamonds. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Did you hear the story this morning about Jairus and his daughter, the gospel lesson? What's wrong? Is it warm in here?
Yes.
It's warmer out there, huh? Did you hear the story of the gospel lesson about Jairus' daughter? His daughter was sick, she was going to die. Do you know at that moment that all the gold and silver and diamonds in the world meant nothing to him? At that moment, the only thing that meant anything to Jairus was his daughter. Do you know that in desperation, he went out to find Jesus? I love the song by Don Francisco. This is his story. Don Francisco took a little bit of liberty in the text, but this is what Jairus must have been thinking while he was waiting. While his daughter was dying. Here are his words. She kept on getting weaker as day dragged into day. The doctors gave no hope for her. She just seemed to fade away. The hours were filled with constant dread, and time became a knife that slowly and relentlessly cut the cords of life. There was a teacher in the region then that some of us had heard that he had healed a paralytic by the power of just his word. So with hope again rekindled, I went at once to see if I could find a man named Jesus from a town in Galilee. I began to search the city, and soon I saw a crowd. They were pressing in to touch him as they called his name out loud. But with the strength of desperation, I pushed them all aside. I threw myself before him, and from my knees I cried, "Lord, come and heal my daughter. Even now she's close to death. Her fever is uncontrollable. She fights for every breath. God has given you the power. Life is yours to give. If you'll just lay your hands on her, I know that she will live." He had just begun to go with me when a voice that I saw with fear came near me with the news I knew I didn't want to hear. And although I tried to steel myself, I trembled when he said, "Why bother the teacher anymore? Your little girl is dead." But Jesus touched my shoulder, and he told me not to grieve. The trembling stopped when he looked at me and said, "Only believe." Then he sent the crowds away except his closest men, and they followed right behind us as we started off again. We were still a long ways down the road when we heard the wails and cries of the mourners and musicians as they strove to dramatize my grief they had no business with beneath their loud disguise. And my wife just sat there silently and stared through empty eyes. Then Jesus asked the mourners, "Why is it that you weep? The child isn't dead as you suppose. She's just asleep." And it only took a moment for their wails to turn to jeers. Who does this man think he is? Get him out of here." But with the authority I've never heard from the lips of any man, he spoke, and the sound rolled out with a thunder of command. And in the sudden silence, they all hurried for the door, wondering what the reasons were they'd ever come there for. Then he called his three disciples who were with him on the way, and he led them and my wife and me to where our daughter lay. He took her by the hand, and he said, "Child, arise." And the words were barely spoken when she opened up her eyes. She rose and walked across the room and stood there by our sides. My wife knelt down and held her close, and at last she really cried. Then Jesus told us both to see that our daughter had some food, but as to how her life was saved, not to speak a word. Not to speak a word. But you see, Jairus was a desperate man, wasn't he? He was a desperate man who went looking for Jesus. Have you ever been desperate to go looking for Jesus? Have you ever given anything and everything that you have in your life to find him? Have you ever thought that gold and silver and everything that you've ever gone through and all the problems of your life are nothing compared to finding Jesus? That's where Jairus was in his life. I need to find this man because he's our last hope. Did you know that that's true today for you? He's your last hope. He's your only hope. Desperate people go to desperate measures, and he was in dire need of a miracle, wasn't he? His daughter was going to die, and there was nothing he could do about it. The doctors already told him there's no hope. Give up. She's going to die. And they watched her as she got weaker and weaker. A 12-year-old girl with her whole life ahead of her was not going to make it. How unfair it was that she was the one who was sick unto death. But suddenly a glimmer of hope came in. Somebody told him about Jesus. Did you get that? Somebody told Jairus about Jesus. And all of a sudden, he had hope. There was talk in the town about the man who had healed a paralytic by just saying, "Be healed." So Jairus hung his actions, his thoughts, his future on the hope that what was said about this man, Jesus, was true. Jairus was going to go appeal to this Jesus' compassion. He would throw himself at the mercy of Jesus. He would get on his knees and fall down before him if necessary. "Whatever it takes," said Jairus. "Whatever it takes, I want to get to this Jesus." And here was a huge crowd pressing in. And he fought his way through the crowd and cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, come and heal my daughter." He wasn't going to give up until this man Jesus came with him. "Hurry, Jesus, hurry," he must have thought as the crowd pressed down around him. "Let's go, Jesus. We need to get there before she gets worse or God forbid, she dies. Let's go." Then Jesus stopped. There was a part of our gospel reading today missing. It was one of those readings where you have like two verses and then you continue later with a few verses. Where it stopped was that Jesus stopped. As they were going to Jairus' house, he stopped and he turned around and he said, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" And Peter and the disciples are like, "Lord, people are pressing in all around you. Everybody's touching you. What do you mean, who touched me?" I can imagine Jairus. Can you imagine? "Come on, let's go. We're going to my house. Remember Jesus?" And Jesus is like, "Somebody touched me." A woman with an issue of blood for 12 years pressed in through the crowd. And she said, "If only I can touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed." And so he turned around, and she finally, trembling, came up to him and said, "I was the one, Jesus, I touched you." And he said, "Your faith, daughter, has made you whole. Your faith has made you whole. That which you believed and said in your heart has made you whole." And then on they went to Jairus' house, but it was too late, Jairus thought. "It's too late. This man coming towards me, I know what he's going to say." And sure enough, the man came up and said, "Let Jesus go on his way. Your daughter's dead. It's too late." Some messenger, right? "Your daughter's dead. Let the teacher alone. He's got other things to do." "They were too late," said Jairus. But you know what? All of us know here that God can do certain things, just like Jairus. We all know that God can do certain things, but don't bother him with the impossible, right? It's too late. There's things in our life that we've been asking for, but God will never answer that prayer. It's too late for that one. If our requests are within our belief system and ability to comprehend, then we won't give up hope. But what can God do, after all, about the impossible? That's what Jairus must have been thinking. "Your little girl's dead. Don't bother him anymore." But look at what Jesus said to everybody. And he says this to you and me in Matthew 19:26. He said, Jesus looked at them and said to them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Do you believe that? With God, all things are possible. Jesus went to Jairus' house anyway. The little girl's dead. Jesus said, "Jairus, just believe. Don't be afraid. Just believe." It says Jesus touched his shoulder, like he's touching your shoulder right now, and said, "Don't be afraid. Just believe." He went to Jairus' house, and he took his three disciples with him, and the parents, Jairus and his wife, and they went upstairs. And it was like, almost, it reads like an afterthought. Jesus walked up, took her by the hand, and said, "Daughter, get up." And she got up, and she walked over to her parents. He said, "She's hungry. Get her something to eat." and don't tell anybody about what you saw. To me, that's a remarkable story. Isn't it a great story? It's a story of hope and of salvation, of resurrection. We face, every one of us, a dying and desperate world of people who have given up hope. Did you know that? There are more suicides today per capita than at any time in history in this world. Even during the great and terrible wars of the last century, people were not as hopeless as they are today. Japan has seen an incredible upsurge in suicide since the earthquake and the tsunami. Our military servicemen and women are coming home to hopelessness and despair. They need to hear some good news. A lot of them have given up, like Jairus gave up, huh? They need to hear about Jesus, like Jairus did. They need that spark of hope. They need to hear Jesus say to them, with God, nothing is impossible. But if there's nobody to tell them, they will be consumed by mourners and doomsayers and hopeless people, won't they? If there's nobody to tell them, there's always people to add to their grief. If there's nobody to tell them good news, there's always people to tell them bad news. Turn on the TV, listen to the radio, open the newspaper. It's all there right in front of you. Hopelessness, despair, it sells. It's what makes the news. And everything goes on as if there was no God. All of the reports in the articles goes on as if there were no God. I read an article in the Las Vegas Review Journal last week about Mr. Jones. Did you read that article? Whose wife was getting worse and worse, and the doctors told him to give up and put her in a hospice. And after many months of looking for an answer to the seemingly hopeless and desperate situation, Mr. Jones turned to God for the answers, and his hopes and dreams were fulfilled because God came through for him just like he always does. Did you see that article? Another article was about a woman who was in dire straits due to some bad judgments, decisions she had made in her life. She was contemplating suicide. She was ready to kill herself, but somebody who had been kind to her some months ago was the only human contact she knew, and so she called this person on the phone. And after the person told her about the hope that was available through a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, she turned her life over to God, and now she has a renewed sense of hope and vigor and a wonderful lust for life and an incredible attitude. And she has spent her time telling others of her newfound friend named Jesus Christ. Did you see those articles? Neither did I, because they weren't there, were they? See, those are stories of hope, and they happen every day. But they only happen because you make them happen. On Wednesday night, we talked a lot on Wednesday night about the authority that you've been given, about the most powerful force in the universe that lies within you called the Holy Spirit, and how he's right in you and with you, and he'll go out with you, and he'll spread the good news. And all of the Jairuses out there who need to hear about it can hear about it from you. I did see the article in the paper about our servicemen coming home in gloom and despair, committing suicide. I did see the article about Japan's suicide rate increasing since the tsunami. I saw that in the paper. But where do we find words of hope? You know, don't you, that Jesus was not heading to Jairus' house? That wasn't in his plans. He didn't plan to go to Jairus' house. Jairus got Jesus' attention and pleaded with him. And Jesus saw his desperation and his lack of belief. But he also saw his hope and his spark of desire and diligence. Even when the girl had died and all seemed lost, Jesus touched his shoulder and said, "Only believe." What about you? Maybe even today you're sitting here and you're saying, "I don't have much hope. My life is in despair. There's a lot of gloom and doom. Maybe you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. Maybe the tunnel seems to only get darker and more lonely. Maybe your secret despair is consuming you. You don't know where to turn. I have some news for you. And you won't find the news in the paper or on the radio or on TV. Jesus heals the brokenhearted. Jesus heals broken bodies and souls. Jesus is our hope of a changed life. Oh, he's not a get-out-of-jail-free card, don't get me wrong, but he is the hope of us all. And someone sitting here today thinks that God cannot intervene in some area of their life because it's impossible. They've given up. I have news for you. What's impossible with you is possible with God. Just keep on keeping on in your quest for the answer. Don't ever give up, and God will show you his salvation. Be like Jairus and say, "Nothing else matters but this. I'm going to go to Jesus, and he's going to solve my problem. Ask Jesus to come to your house, come into your life and your circumstances. And when he comes, take him to that place, that room, where your daughter lays dead, so to speak. And watch his salvation work in the impossible places of your life. Fall down before him in desperation like Jairus did. Go to him with your life, your needs. Cry out to him, Lord, come and heal my life, my soul, my circumstances. Because he shed his blood for the life of the world, for your life. He's our salvation. Did you know that? You only need to be like Jairus or the woman with the issue of blood for 12 years. Press in. Go through the crowds. Press in. Touch him. Say, come to my house, Jesus. You need to get a little desperate sometimes. You know, he doesn't enter the homes and hearts of those who are not looking for him. He doesn't push his way into anybody's heart or house. But he changes the lives of those who seek him out. Amen?
Amen.
Has he changed the life of somebody you know, maybe your life? He can do the same for other people. What about your neighbors or friends or people with whom you come in contact? Perhaps they are lost or dying. Do you know that you have the answer? Will you plant the seed? Will you tell Jairus about Jesus? Somebody told him. That's how he heard. He found salvation and healing for his daughter and his family. Everything changed after he met Jesus. The impossible became a reality. And in closing, I need to qualify something here because people sometimes think I'm saying something that I'm not. I said earlier that Jesus is not a get-out-of-jail-free card. I remember a few years ago a story in a religious periodical about a woman in Texas who had been convicted of murder and had been sentenced to death. She was in prison. She was notorious for her foul attitude and her mood. She railed against everything and everyone, blaming everyone but herself even after she had confessed to the crime. But while in prison, somebody told her about Jesus. And she found him as her Lord and Savior. She confessed her sins. She found forgiveness of her sins from God. She completely changed as a person. Everything changed in her life, her attitude. She became a faithful follower of his word and was a wonderful witness to her other prisoners with her, many of who came to Jesus because of her testimony. God changed her life, her heart. She had the good news of hope and salvation, and she told everyone. And you know, after some attempts by Christian groups to have her imminent execution rescinded, there came the reality that this was not going to happen. They weren't going to rescind her execution. Everybody prayed that somehow this was going to happen, that her life would be spared. But you know what? She had found peace and forgiveness from God, but she still had to deal with the consequences of her actions in her past social and physical life, didn't she? But in an interview with her, she expressed gratitude for everyone who had tried to prolong her life. She said this, listen, although the future looks bleak in the physical, the truth is, I know who holds the future, and I'm not afraid to die. She didn't want to die, but she wasn't afraid to die. That's a different thing altogether. She was executed a short time later according to the law. But you know what? She didn't go down screaming. She went down with the hope. You see, God gave her that hope and that salvation. She didn't get a free pass for what she had done. She still had to fulfill the social and physical penalty for her crime. But Jesus had set her free. Jesus had set her free. He had saved her. She had hope and her life changed completely. That, you see, that is the salvation of God unto eternal life. Jairus interrupted the plan of God through his desperation, his hope, his belief. Remember what he said to Jesus? Remember these words because you can say them this week. It's there in our gospel reading today. Take it with you and look at it every day. He said this to Jesus, come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed, and she will live. He believed that. He believed that if Jesus came and touched her, she would live. Did you know that if Jesus comes and touches you, you will live? Did you know that if Jesus comes and touches your neighbors and your friends, they will live? He'll give them life, and they'll not only live, but they'll live forever. He knew that if he could only contact Jesus and get him to come to his house, his little girl would live. We're going to say these words together later on at the end of the Eucharistic service during the Great Thanksgiving. You know the words. When we say them, you need to believe them. The words are this: Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed. Those words are true. I challenge you this week. Be like Jairus. We sang it. You're more precious than gold or silver or diamonds. Jairus didn't care about any of that stuff because he was desperate for Jesus to touch him. He was desperate for Jesus to come into his house and his heart and his life. Are you desperate? Will you receive him? And will you show him to other people? Will you go out and spread the word, plant the seeds? Will you tell Jairus about Jesus? Amen.